By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. MashaAllah, viewers of Madhi Channel, welcome to Rise and Shine. The early morning program every day is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. If only we can have this mindset to be thankful with whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has given us. And it's a nice setting. And as you are, you can see on the screen, I have a special guest with me. Inshallah, I'll introduce the guest in a little while. But before I begin, as you know, every day we begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The blessing that I have today, it is stated that a person complained about his poverty and lack of sustenance in the blessed court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said to him that when you enter your home, say salam whether there is someone at home or not. Then pay salam on me, yani say salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and then recite Surah Ikhlas once. That man did so, and Allah Azza wa Jal opened the door of sustenance for him, that even his neighbors and relatives got its benefit. Meaning that he came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was struggling, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make a habit that whenever you enter your home, give salam to the people of the house, whether there's someone there or not. Then send salawat upon me, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then recite Surah Ikhlas once, and inshallah, Azza wa Jal, your problem will be resolved. And within a short space of time, not only was his own personal financial problems were resolved, but he was also able to help his relatives and his neighbors as well. So please, like I said many, many times before, viewers of Malaysia, please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our daily routines, we are traveling, we are coming, we are waiting. Utilize this time, and one of the best ways of utilizing this time is sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of Madhi Channel, as you know, on Rise and Shine, I make this claim, and I still stand by this claim, yes, that the first package that we have on Rise and Shine is the best package that is on any program on Madhi Channel. And that is because we have the privilege, we have the honor to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran with the translation. Let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rehm wala.
Wa ma ataytum min riban liyarbu wa fi amwalin nas fala yarbu 'indallah.
Aur tum jo cheez zyada lene ko do ke dene wale ke maal badhe to wo Allah ke yahan na badhegi.
Wa ma ataytum zakatin turiduna wajhallahi faulaika humul mud'ifun.
Aur jo tum khairat do Allah ki rida chahte hue to unhi ke dune hain.
Allahul ladhi khalaqakum thumma razaqakum thumma yumeetukum thumma yuhyikum.
Allah hai jisne tumhe paida kiya phir tumhe rozi di phir tumhe marega phir tumhe jilaye yani zinda karega.
Hal min shurakaikum man yaf'alu min dhalikum min shay subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun.
Kya tumhare sharikon mein bhi koi aisa hai جو ان کاموں میں سے کچھ کرے پاکی اور برتری ہے اسے ان کے شرک سے.
ظہر الفساد فی البر والبحر بما کسبت ایدی الناس لیذیقہم بعض الذی عملوا لعلہم یرجعون.
چمکی خرابی خشکی اور تری میں ان برائیوں سے جو لوگوں کے ہاتھوں نے کمائیں، تاکہ انہیں ان کے بعض کوتکوں یعنی برے کاموں کا مزہ چکھائے، کہیں وہ باز آئیں۔
قل سیروا فی الارض فانظروا کیف کان عاقبت الذین من قبل کان اکثرهم مشرکین۔
تم فرماؤ زمین میں چل کر دیکھو کیسا انجام ہوا اگلوں کا، ان میں بہت مشرک تھے۔
فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ الْقَيِّمِ مِن قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَ يَوْمٌ لَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدَعُونَ۔
تو اپنا منہ سیدھا کر عبادت کے لیے، قبل اس کے کہ وہ دن آئے جسے اللہ کی طرف سے ٹلنا نہیں، اس دن الگ پھٹ جائیں گے۔
مَن كَفَرَ فَعَلَيْهِ كُفْرُهُ وَمَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِأَنفُسِهِمْ يَمْهَدُونَ۔
جو کفر کرے اس کے کفر کا وبال اسی پر، اور جو اچھا کام کریں وہ اپنے ہی لیے تیاری کر رہے ہیں۔
لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ۔
تاکہ صلہ دے انہیں جو ایمان لائے اور اچھے کام کیے اپنے فضل سے، بے شک وہ کافروں کو دوست نہیں رکھتا۔
وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَن يُرْسِلَ الرِّيَاحَ مُبَشِّرَاتٍ وَلِيُذِيقَكُم مِّن رَّحْمَتِهِ وَلِتَجْرِيَ الْفُلْكُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِن فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ۔
اور اس کی نشانیوں سے ہے کہ ہوائیں بھیجتا ہے مژدہ سناتی، اور اس لیے کہ تمہیں اپنی رحمت کا ذائقہ دے، اور اس لیے کہ کشتی اس کے حکم سے چلے، اور اس لیے کہ اس کا فضل تلاش کرو، اور اس لیے کہ تم حق مانو۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ ماشاءاللہ viewers of Mother Channel, like I said, the privilege and the honor to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. And like I said many times, again, listening to the Quran, there is a blessing in it, but better still is reading the Quran. And better still is if you can read it as a family, sit down as a family, read 3 verses of the Quran. This is what Aramil Sunnat, the founder of Dawastami, advises us to do in the Pious Deed book. He said, read the Quran, just 3 verses of the Quran every day with translation and commentary. And better still, read it as a family so everybody can benefit as well. And I've said it times before that, you know, if water dropping on a stone can change the shape of a stone, can make a hole in the stone, what can 3 ayat of the Quran do to our hearts if we do it on a daily basis? So please make a habit of, if not reading the Quran on a daily basis, then at least listen to the Quran. And if you don't have any time to read the Quran, then tune into Rise and Shine, inshallah, every day, and you'll get the opportunity to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Here's the Mother Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and today's society, every household is facing some sort of difficulty. And we're all complaining about our situation. There are very, very few people that can say that, alhamdulillah, everything's fine in my house. And there's problems there with them, be it in the relationships with their spouses, with their children, with their parents, with their relatives, work problems, society problems, and also economic problems. And in today's society, a lot of people are facing economic problems. We are facing problems with our sustenance and everything like that. And we think to ourselves that we're working 12 hours a day, we're doing this, we're doing that, and still at the end of the week, we've got nothing left. And I know that people from a financial point of view will look at it from an analytical point of view and look at what is causing this situation on an international level or on a global level. But have we ever sat down and asked ourselves that why have we not got blessings in our sustenance? Why are we facing the difficulties that we are facing on a day-to-day basis? And is there an answer? You know, is there an answer in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And like I said it many times before, that before we look at outside our houses, before we look at everybody else for the problem and try and blame everybody else for the problem, every morning look at the mirror and think to yourself, are you the problem? Whatever the situation is, whatever the problem is, and we've discussed this many times, that whatever the situation is that you are facing, look at yourself in the mirror and say, is this something that I'm doing that is wrong, that could be the cause of this problem? And that's something that we need to analyze. And I can't analyze you, you can't analyze me. I have to analyze myself, and you have to analyze yourself as well. Like I said early on, you saw, mashallah, that we had a guest in the studio, Hafiz Kali, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Mashallah, Hafiz Saab, I see your fillers on Mother Channel. Every day when we get a filler during this program, I mention the fact that, mashallah, Hafiz Kaleem is one of our first batch of graduates from Jamiatul Madina. So how long ago was it that you joined Jamiatul Madina? When did you graduate?
Well, I joined Jamiatul Madina in 2010.
MashaAllah.
So that's when, alhamdulillah, I started in Birmingham. I joined, and in 2017, we finished our studies and graduated. So,
you know, they say time is flying. You said 2010, and it scared me for a second. And yet, I can still remember. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I can remember when the Jamia started. So, mashallah, this is our first batch of graduates from Jamiatul Madina. Now, the topic that we've got today, we're going to come to the topic, and inshallah, we're going to get some Madani pearls. But before we listen to the Madani pearls of Hafiz Kaleem, we're going to go to the Kalam of the day. And inshallah, when we come back, we'll start discussing this topic. Let's go to the Kalam of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Taiba se lautna, kisi aashik se poochhiye. Taiba se lautna, kisi aashik se poochhiye. Aisa lage ki rooh badan se guzar gayi. Aisa lage ki rooh badan se guzar gayi.
Hum madine se Allah kyun aa gaye qalbe haira ki taski wahi reh gayi dil wahi reh gaya jaan wahi reh gayi hum usi سکون آخری رہ گئی ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکی وہی رہ گئی
جس جگہ سجدار ملی جس جگہ ہر قدم ان کی رحمت ملی جس جگہ سجدار ریزی کی لذت ملی جس جگہ ہر قدم ان کی رحمت ملی جس جگہ نور رہتا ہے شام و سحر جس جگہ نور رہتا ہے شام و سحر وہ فلک رہ گیا وہ زمین رہ گئی
رہ گئی
پڑھ کے نصر من اللہ
فتح قريب جب ہوئے ہم روا سوء کو نصر من اللہ فتح قریب جب ہوئے ہم روا سوء کو حبیب برکتیں رحمتیں ساتھ چلنے لگی برکتیں رحمتیں ساتھ چلنے لگی بے بسی زندگی کی یہیں رہ گئی ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکین وہیں رہ گئی یاد آتے ہیں ہم کو وہ شام و سحر وہ سکون دل و جان و روح و نظر یاد آتے ہیں ہم کو وہ شام و سحر وہ سکون دل و جان و روح و نظر کرم ہے انہی کی عطا یہ انہی کا کرم ہے انہی کی عطا ایک کیفیت دل نشین رہ گئی دل وہی رہ گیا جاں وہیں رہ گئی ہم اسی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی زندگانی وہیں کاش ہوتی بسر کاش بہزاد آتے نہ ہم کر زندگانی وہیں کاش ہوتی بسر کاش بہزاد آتے نہ ہم لوٹ کر اور پوری ہوئی ہر تمنا مگر اور پوری ہوئی ہر تمنا مگر یہ تمنا قلب حزین رہ گئی
ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب ہے تسکین وہیں رہ گئی دل وہیں رہ گیا جاں وہیں رہ گئی ہم اسی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program. And like you see, MashaAllah, I have a guest in the studio, so inshallah, my life's going to be a lot easier today. Hafiz Kaleem Madani, our first batch of graduates from Jamiatul Madina. Before the break, he mentioned the fact that he started in 2010. Seems like yesterday, you know, he had dark hair there. He's still got dark hair now. He was a kid then. He's still a kid now, alhamdulillah. But today, mashallah, he's one of our most respected scholars in the UK. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward him for all his efforts. And he's also heavily involved behind the scenes in doing our translation work as well. Hafiz Saab, the topic of the day, causes of lack of sustenance. And like I said, a lot of people look to inflation rates, a lot of people look to, you know, events that are taking place around the world, and they blame, you know, that's why I'm struggling financially, which, yes, is a valid reason, and we understand that.
Our Buzurgani Deen, our elders have been quoted as saying, when people would come to them and complain that the price of something has risen and what are we going to do, and their famous words are written in those books that the Lord who provided us yesterday when the prices were low will provide us today when the prices are high. So showing that tawakkul, their reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Muslims, in any given situation, yes, there is fear, there's concern, there's worry, but we should never lose hope or leave that reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first thing. Secondly, in the matter of risk specifically, it's been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how much risk so-and-so person will receive. And it's not the case that every single person will receive the same amount. Some people are affluent, some people are not. And in the Quran, we're told as well that وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that if Allah had expanded the risk for everyone, meaning for every single person in creation, then there would be rebellion on the earth. Meaning some people, if they were to be, you know, granted a huge amount of money, they wouldn't know what to do with it. They would end up sinning, they would end up doing wrong, they would end up doing all sorts of things. I mean, we look throughout history, especially the tyrants, the rulers, this is what happened with them. The likes of Fir'aun, the likes of other people, when they were given so much, they didn't know how to use it. And that was a test for them. So this is another matter in regards to risk, that some people, we need to learn to be happy and content with what we're given. Yes, you can make efforts to try and increase your risk and in a halal manner, but ultimately you should have reliance upon Allah that, Ya Allah, you have ordained and you have distributed the risk amongst your creation, and I am happy with that. So that's a test as well. And then in the Quran, we're told that whatever difficulty reaches a person, and when you are suffering in terms of finance, these financial constraints, then what happens is we have to do or reflect and ponder, as you said before, look in the mirror and look at ourselves. Is this something that I'm causing myself? Am I the reason behind why I'm suffering from a poverty or a lack of sustenance, etc.? And the Quran tells us, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, that whatever harm inflicts you, it's what your hands have earned. Allah, it's due to what your hands have earned. فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. But even then, وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٌ, Allah is so merciful that He pardons and forgives many of your shortcomings, many of the shortcomings that people commit. So this is another thing that we need to focus on. Inshallah, in detail, we'll discuss what kind of things are we doing that leads to a lack of sustenance. And the fourth thing I would mention, Ajisab, is that the awliya Allah subhanAllah, their mindset, their outlook, the way they would view these things. We heard a statement right at the beginning of one of our elders that the same Lord Allah Azza wa Jalla who provided us yesterday when there were times of ease will provide us today when there's difficulty. But the awliya Allah also say, we rejoice when calamities descend upon us the way the people of the world rejoice at the receiving of blessings.
Allah,
when blessings come in a person's Allah life, naturally we rejoice, we're happy, you know, we share it with people, we praise Allah, we should do so. But the awliya Allah, they have a different mindset. That even in difficulty,
they're happy.
The pleasure that we get, we rejoice, we're happy. Why? Because we know this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to kind of adopt that mindset as well, that in all states. And one of the beautiful things I learned when I first came to Dawat Islami as well, was this jumla, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. And now it's automatic, we say it, you know, whenever someone asks us. But it was so nice to, when I joined the Mahal, hear something like that, and the meaning behind it as well, that Ya Allah, praise you in all situations, all praise to you in any situation. And that's a test, Arisab, because when you're given blessings, do you show shukr? And when you're tested, do you show patience? And when we look at the Anbiya alayhi salam, we look at the Saliheen, we look at the Awliya, great, great calamities descended, great trials, great tribulations. Some of the Anbiya alayhi salam were martyred by their nations. Some of the Anbiya alayhi salam were tested so severely, like Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is reported to have said that no prophet was tested the way I was tested. Allah. Meaning we know about the Anbiya alayhi salam and the tests, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still saying that nobody was tested like me. Meaning he was made to leave his city of birth, his own qawm turned against him, ma'adullah, they didn't believe in him, they didn't believe in the message he came with, said all sorts of things about him. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained patient, forbearing. So in the matter of rizq as well, when we know Allah is Razzaq, Allah is the one who gives rizq, Allah will provide in all cases. We are believers. Allah is providing for non-believers as well. Allah is providing for everyone. Why should we have a lack of belief in this then? That we should always think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for me, provide for my children. And this is one of the things that the Quran refutes time and time again. In the period of ignorance, the kuffar would have this mindset that if we have children, how are we going to fend for them? And they would abort their children, and they would refrain from having children for this reason, that we fear poverty. That if children come into our lives, how are we going to put food on the table for them? How are we going to clothe them? How are we going to, maintain them? But Alhamdulillah, Islam did away with all of that. That regardless of how many children you have, their risk is written as well. They come with their risk. They come with their sustenance as well. So this is a key point, Hajisab, that with sustenance, there will always be a test. You might have days where you're enjoying yourself. It could be the case that the next day, you're at your lowest point. But then you don't lose hope. You don't lose sight of the fact that the same Lord who granted you before will grant you again and can grant you again. He is all powerful.
I know it's going to go slightly off topic, but you mentioned there, and it's a beautiful saying that the pious predecessor said that, the same Rabb, the same creator that provided for us yesterday when the prices were low, will inshallah provide for us today when the prices are high. And having that trust in Allah and having that belief that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the provider. But obviously, if we had that belief, then there wouldn't be a problem. Mm. And I think maybe that is one of the fundamental problems. We can talk about the other causes, but the fundamental problem is that we don't have that belief that Allah is the provider, and we don't have that trust in Allah. So I know I'm going to put you on the spot and probably go off the topic a little bit, but how do we develop that? How can we develop that mindset to trust in Allah, to have that mindset that Allah Azza wa Jal is the provider? We're told in the Quran, yes, we're told a lot of things in the Quran, but we need to, if we had that mindset, in the same way that we're told in the Quran to pray five times a day, but not everybody does. How do we develop that mindset to put that trust in Allah and realize that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator, Allah Azza wa Jal is the provider? Yes, we need to struggle and strive, like you said earlier on. Yes, we need to try and better ourselves. Yes, we need to continue to work. But at the same time, I know someone in Pakistan, he married, he has 6 children. He doesn't own his own house. He's got a small stationery shop. There's no water in the house comes. He has to go on, on motorbikes and fills up the water. Yeah. And up until recently, they didn't, they put like a water tank on the roof and they didn't even have running water, so it was on the pans. But he was so happy, Afisab. He was so happy. Even now I can ring him up and say, brother, Alhamdulillah, fantastic, everything's brilliant. And he never, ever complained about his poverty. And I know he's struggling. But he's so happy. And one day he said to me, look, I'm living a brilliant life. And I look at him and I think, how can I? I was jealous of his mindset. And the question I'm asking is, how can we develop that mindset to be thankful with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla? And like you said, that if everybody was rich, then we would have a rebellion. Because if everybody was rich, then why should I go to work today? Why do I need to do this job? I want, to sit in a big, comfortable chair. And so nobody would be willing to work. So this is the nizam, the system that Allah Azza wa Jalla has put in place. But how do I develop this mindset? I mean, I'm asking this from a personal point of view as well. How can I develop this mindset to be happy, thankful, and trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla?
SubhanAllah, it's an excellent question. And as you said, you're asking it for yourself. I'm answering it for myself as well. Because a lot of things, we hear ayat of the Quran, ahadith as well, but we fail to internalize them, like you said. We narrate them as well. But when we ponder and we sit down and we think, how much do I act upon that saying myself? Then we realize. So the matter of relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think it's a matter of, first of all, your mindset. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, compare yourself or look at those who are lower than you. What's happened is in this current period that we're living in, materialistic world, we're constantly bombarded with lifestyles, so-called lifestyles on social media. And a lot of the times it's revealed that that's fake. That was just to show somebody is renting out a car. They live a certain lifestyle. And we, the awam, we get drawn into that. And we think, oh, if only I had a house like that, a car like that. This person is living it up. So our viewpoint is wrong. And the people we're looking at is totally wrong. Well, we should be looking at those people who are not as blessed as us. May Allah bless them as well. But in the sense that if somebody has his own house, he should be looking at somebody who's struggling to get on the property ladder. Rather than, look at that person.
Look at the person, he's got a detached house.
Yeah, he's got a detached house. He's just done an extension costing 200K and, that's never going to be me. And the more you think like that, the more you're depressing yourself. The more you're worrying, concerned over nothing. Because this life is transient, this life is very short. And when we look at the life, it's beautiful how the ulama tell us that prepare for this world in accordance to how long you live here. You know, if 60 years to 70 years, the hadith tells us that the average life of a believer, 60 to 70 years. And the akhirat is eternal.
Allah.
Jannat is eternal. If you enter Jannah, inshallah, you live there eternally. So the wise person will look at this world and say, look, if my every single desire is not fulfilled here, so what? You know, why am I going to cry about that? Why am I going to wail and complain to every single person? Oh, I'm suffering, I've got this, I've got that. So I think the first point, Hajisab, is that look at those who are less blessed. When you look at those who are less blessed, then inshallah, automatically, even small things, like you said, water there. You know, I was thinking when you were mentioning that point, we just have to go to the kitchen, open the tap. And that person, Allahu Akbar, he has to travel, he has to put effort in. Then he provides water for his family members. Yeah. When we start pondering over small things like that, and they even say that if you can't appreciate the small blessings, you'll never appreciate the big blessings as well. So it starts right from the beginning, that mindset that I don't need to look at those people who are above me, because that will lead to diseases, that will lead to hasad, that will lead to envy, that will lead to wishing bad and evil for others as well. Why has he got this and why has he got that? And Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, he's the physician, he tackles it. He says eventually you'll reach a state where you're not mutma'in or satisfied with the taqseem, the distribution of Allah.
Allahu
so
Akbar.
Indirectly you're doing itiraz on the distribution of Allah. Why, Allah, why have you given him? Why have you given me? So to avoid all of that, which leads to worry and concern, first of all, we should think that, look, alhamdulillah, it is a difficult time, but I'm surviving. Every day I'm eating. I often think as well that, you know, in this country, majority of people, I would say, have never seen a day where they've gone hungry, I believe, without meal or without something.
I agree with you.
And when we hear about people who are in that situation, and then when they've got access to water, it's not even clean water.
Allah.
You know, so these kind of things we should ponder upon. And I think, alhamdulillah, with the initiation of the FGRF, Department of Dawood Islami as well, I'm so happy for the brothers involved. And sometimes I think I want to go as well.
Officer, I was in Pakistan and I was traveling back from Punjab, and the traffic got jammed and the road had been damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And these women were on the road and they were looking in the car, and if there was anything to eat, they said, give us that.
Oh, God.
And when they looked at our car, we had nothing. We had a few packets of biscuit. Give us that. And then you think, this is the desperation that they're in.
Allah.
You know, and I thought to myself, as we were driving further on, I'm thinking, how are these people surviving? But you know, something that you mentioned right at the beginning, that nowadays we have a false image as well. We see these people in these fast cars and these big cars and everything. I remember when you talked, I remember an incident took place. I remember many years ago, me and my wife, we went to someone's house. They got a new house. So we went to give them Mubarak, and we went into the house, and she went around the back and I'm sat in the front, and we had tea and biscuits and whatnot. And then we came out. And when we got in the car, a few months later, I said to my wife, is Baji happy with the new house? Oh, yeah. She was telling me, she showed me the kitchen, she showed me the bathroom, she showed me the conservatory, she showed me the garden, she showed me all that. Oh, mashallah, mashallah. I didn't say anything else. 5 minutes later, she said, why did you ask? And I said, the brother in the front room, he was crying.
Oh, God.
He was crying. She said, what do you mean? And what had happened was, when we were in the front room, he said, Bhai, I can't afford this. Yeah. She put pressure on me to buy this. I can't afford this. I'm working 6 days a week. right? 12 hours a day. And now, unless I work 7 days a week, literally 12 hours a day, he said, the moment you leave here, I'm going out to work.
Allah.
And I felt like getting up and leaving there and then, to be honest. And he says, and now she wants a seven-seater. And now she wants this. And she doesn't want an old one. She wants a new one from the showroom. How am I going to manage? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, nice house. But, you know, what's happening on the inside? Mm-hmm. That, so like you said that, you may be living in a small house, yeah. You may, you know, managing and everything. And you look at these people and you think, wow, they've got this, they've got that. But behind the scenes, they are probably, they could be struggling more than you, 10 times more than you. And it really dawned on me that day, Hafsab, that the image that was created, you know, that in the last 5 years, they moved from this house to this house to this house, and I'm still in the same house. And alhamdulillah, my wife never complained, but it did, you know, it did dawn on me, you know, that I'm thinking, I've not been able to do this. But then I realized that I'm happy where I am, and he's not. So although he has that wealth, but then the other question, I mean, again, we keep on going off topic again, we keep on going off in tangents, but wealth isn't always equated to happiness. Yeah, he's got what appears to be a wealthy lifestyle. He's got what appears to be a nice big house, what appears to be a nice car, etc., 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 but he's not happy. I've had so many taxi drivers, for example, that'll come up to me and say, you know, Khalid bhai, you pay our mortgage and we'll travel in a 12-month car. You pay our mortgage and we'll never leave the masjid. You know, because we invite him to the ishtama, and they said, you do this for us. And they're like, oh, I said, look, you know, it'll improve your system. But this is the struggling. The non-stop having to run from pillar to post to meet the costs. And then, you know, when we've got other reasons why we've got a lack in sustenance, but maybe also we don't live by, you know, the kadha, up and look at your own chadar, yeah? We don't live by that, do we?
Yeah.
And like you say, we always want what other people have got. Yeah. He's got a nice car. Oh, well, I must have a nice car then. Doesn't matter whether I can afford it or not. I must have it because everybody's got it.
Yeah.
I've got an old car and sometimes people make fun of it. Okay, but it got me here, yeah? And your car will get you home and my car will get me home. But what I'm trying to say is we have this perception that, like we say, we're looking at them people that have the bigger cars, that have the bigger houses, that have the bigger things. Oh, I'm investing in plots in Pakistan. I've got a koti there. I've got this. I'm like, well, I can't afford that. I can't afford that. I can't afford that. Views of Inshallah, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder of the day, Inshallah. And then when we come back, I know we've gone off on tangents, but that's my habit. Inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sayyidina Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he states, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره. Whosoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the final day, then let him honor his neighbor. Honoring neighbors. Be kind to them. Yes. Protect their privacy. Don't backbite. Don't spread words, falsehood about them. Maybe sharing their secrets, whatever it may be happening within their home. Of course, do not harm them. It's not just that though. It's helping them if they need any help, sharing your food with them, being a source of peace and happiness rather than a thorn in their side. Allahu Akbar. Islam teaches us that, yes, we must pray our salah. We must honor all of the laws of Islam. And part of those is taking care of your neighborhood, which of course begins with your very own neighbors. We must honor our neighbors. When was the last time you visited them? When was the last time you have shared a kind word with them? When was the last time you were there to comfort them? When was the last time you were there to even ask them, offer them some sort of help? We should always be there for our neighbors.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Views on the channel, we're talking about the causes of poverty and the causes of the lack of sustenance in our households. And I'm just going to narrate an event that took place. It is stated that an eminent scholar of the Hadith, Sayyidina Khutbah bin Khalid, rahmatullahi ta'ala, was once invited by the Khalifa of Baghdad, Mamun al-Rashid. And after eating, the great scholar began to pick up and eat the bits of food that had fallen down. The Khalifa of the time, he said to him that, oh Sheikh, are you not full yet? And he replied that I am full. But I've heard a Hadith that whoever picks up and eats fallen bits of food from the dining mat will get free from the fear of poverty. The Sheikh said, I am acting upon that blessed Hadith. Now, the Khalifa was so impressed by this action that he called his servant to go and bring a bag of gold dinars and present it to the Sheikh. And when he presented it to the Sheikh said that, look, the blessings of acting upon this hadith, this sunnah, have come straight away. And that is just one thing. And when I was reading that, I thought to myself that, you know, Hafsab, how much food do we waste? You know, this is picking up grains of rice from the dining mat, but how much food do we waste? You know, nowadays there's this buy one, get one free culture, buy two, get a third free. And even if we don't need it, we get it.
Yeah.
And then it goes off and we chuck it in the bin and we say, well, it was free anyway, wasn't it? So it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so at weddings, at our homes, on a day-to-day routine, how much food do we waste? And maybe that is also one of the causes.
Definitely, definitely. Wasting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ulama have written that down as a cause of deprivation and sustenance. Like I said, we have so much, but it's hard upon us to safeguard or preserve those blessings. You know, especially with food, what we'll do is, well, it's a buffet culture today as well. People go to buffets and put a bit of everything in, and before you know it, the plate's like, you know, filled. And you just have to, if you ever go to a restaurant or, you know, a food place, look at the tables after people have left.
Yeah.
I sometimes get shocked. I think, yeah. Have they sat down to
eat? Have they even started?
Have they even started? Because the plates are full.
Yeah.
And that's a massive problem, because once you start doing that wasting extravagance, then that leads to nashukri, ingratitude. And we're told in the Quran that your blessings will increase with gratitude. So the Quran tells us in Surah Ibrahim, verse 7, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you are grateful, then I will indeed increase your blessings. And if you are ungrateful, وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, indeed my punishment is severe. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying.
Allah.
So wastage, and again it goes back to that point, you have to have that ihsas, that feeling, sympathy for others. That when you know people are not well off, you know people are dying because of hunger, because of poverty, we should think about them. That if we can survive on a little, then so be it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even mentioned that the food of two suffices for three, and the food of three suffices for, there's a hadith like that, that when you eat together, then the barakah extends, and alhamdulillah, with less food, more people can eat as well. And here, everyone's ordering their own meals, everyone's ordering their own platters and whatnot, and you know, they end up wasting it, and the barakah will not come. So wasting food is a massive issue. Like you said, weddings or when offers, you know, we see as well when the shops newly open, they'll have like a 50% off offer, and the queues are like a mile long. But can people say that every single thing we brought
has been utilized?
Yeah, that's something that we have, because the ni'mat of Allah will be questioned about. In the Quran, we're told that you will definitely be asked on the Day of Judgment, adin na'im, that are regarding blessings. So if we can answer that, then fabiha, that's good. But in most cases, you know, if we were to be taken to account, will be destroyed, because there's so many blessings that we misuse as well. So one of the causes, you're right, Hachisab, that ingratitude, nashukri, wasting food, this leads to...
Wasting water.
Yeah, wasting water as well, yeah.
I remember seeing a sign, I was trying to remember whilst you were talking, whether it was on a restaurant that did a buffet or something, but it was something to the... I can't remember the exact sign, but it was something like, your meal price will be increased or doubled if you don't clean your plate. So just eat what you order. Otherwise, the price will be double. And there, people didn't waste any food because they had to pay double. But the other thing that you touched on there, which was, again, that now, again, all right, people are ordering their own meals, but even as a family, we don't sit together and eat. And, you know, the blessings in sitting together as a family, from so many different aspects,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the tarbiyat of the family, understanding the problems of the family, communicating with the family, understanding what your children are going through, the blessings of eating together, the blessings of the food, the barakat in the food, the not wasting the food, you know, the du'as and everything, all of them things, we've lost all of them things.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, we pick up a plate, we'll go in our own room, or we'll order our own food. And you know, if you look at it from that point of view, Afsab, aren't we... Well, it's there, isn't it? Our society is breaking down as a result of that.
Yeah, we speak about this like generation gap, or parents not understanding children, vice versa, and stuff like that. But we brought it on ourselves.
Yeah.
So if we were doing, like you said, sitting together and whilst eating, doing tarbiyah training, you know, this is a sunnah, this is the money. You start with Bismillah, the food that is not begun, meaning consumption of that food without Bismillah, is deprived of blessings. Yeah. Like the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ mentions that Sahaba was sitting and they were eating, and there was so much blessings in the initial part of the meal. Towards the end, they witnessed a lack of blessings. So they asked the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, what's the reason for that? And the Prophet ﷺ said that at the beginning, you all recited Bismillah, the name of Allah. Somebody joined you in the end, but he didn't recite Bismillah. And as a result, shaitan partook in that meal as well. So that's not reciting Bismillah. We're doing tens of other things as well. So even if you manage to get around the table and you have this routine, the dad's on his phone, the son's on his phone, there's no conversation going on, they'd rather not be there. And that's when you talk about the generation gap, that mokka, the opportunity where you can take advantage and you can tell them, clean your plate. If you clean the plate does dua for you, that Ya Allah, the way he's cleaned me, the way he saved me from food, save him from the fire of hell. But alhamdulillah, in the environment of Dawud Islami, especially when we travel Qafile, we're constantly taught this. We get a chance every month if you travel. We renew this knowledge that we have, that recite this, pick up the crumbs that are on the dastarkhan, that's the hoor of the maidens of paradise, etc. If you eat the crumbs on the dining mat, then your children will be born, inshallah, without any disability, any such problem like that as well. So these things we're unaware of, and we think there's only one way. And like you said, the way you say, oh, today I feel like this, I'll just order it. We've got the applications, it'll come, I'll go to my room. And that's what is breaking down the relationships in society as well.
I think, again, I keep on going on these tangents, but I remember seeing a social media post of Dawud Islami that if you want to give tarbiyah to your children, then the best times to give it are when they're hungry, because then they'll sit in front of you.
Allahu Akbar.
When they're ill, because they can't really do a lot, or when they're about to go to bed.
Mm.
Yeah. And so that time, you know, is a beautiful time to give that tarbiyah to the child. Because the child, you know, if you look at your household, how much time do you get to sit down with your child one-to-one and talk to him?
Yeah.
Not only, teaching the sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but to understand what he's going through. A parent needs to know what his children are doing, where they are, what they're going. My father was always on my case. Mm. You know, I used to, at that time, I used to think, why is he always asking me these questions? Where have you been? Who are your friends? Who are their friends? Da, 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 da. Millions of questions he used to ask me. But we always used to eat together. Mm. And that was the time that, because otherwise I'd be out on my bike, I'd be, playing or whatever. Mm. But he used to sit down with me. And I think, like you said, that generation gap, that breakdown in tarbiyat is because we haven't got that tarbiyat time. And nowadays, this has caused a huge problem.
Yeah.
That even when we do sit down together, this comes in the way, and every family member is, And, I think it'd be great if we could put that to one side, sit down as a family, eat together, and inshallah, the barakat of eating together, the blessings of eating together, the lack of wastage of food, and all sorts of other things, I think could make a whole change in our households.
Definitely, definitely. And another thing I would like to point out, Haji Sahib, is that the tarbiyat or the lack of is leading to so many other issues as well. We're talking about deprivation and sustenance and the causes of that. One thing I feel is lacking in our ummah amongst Muslims today is that if someone has been blessed, he's affluent, he's wealthy, he's considered one of the rich people in the community, I think the responsibility increases now, because rather than look down upon people, which is obviously condemnable in Islam, he has a duty to now teach his children that alhamdulillah, Allah has granted us this, but we are not to boast about it. Because boasting, showing off, this leads to a lack of blessings as well. Now imagine a child in a household, a wealthy household, and all he's taught is, whatever you want, just click your finger, you'll have it. When that child goes to school, and that child speaks to his friends who can't access those things, and he'll say, look, you always wear the same trainers, you're always wearing the same coat. Now that kid's going to get disheartened. That kid will go home and tell his parents. Now the parents will feel a duty that, oh, I must get this for my child. So they don't realize that their actions are having a knock-on effect, an adverse effect as well. So now that parent will think, oh, my son, I don't want him to feel like this. So I'll go out my way to buy him that. And like you said, he might not be in a position to buy that. They can't afford that. But now because he's keeping up appearances, that so-and-so has said this. So it starts from there. The wealthy folk, they need to obviously learn what mindset view they should have. That not everybody is like them in society. A person should teach his child that, look, we have to live within our means. Allah's blessed us. We have so many other blessings. It's like we're quick to pick up the phone at 7 and ring someone and say, brother, I want to share some stuff with you. I want to speak to you about problems I'm going through. When was the last time you spoke to someone and say, brother, I just want to speak about the blessings that entered my life today? We never do that.
No, we never.
But we'll have a long list of complaints and say, oh, I've got this problem and that problem. And there, that person needs advice that, look, I want you to write a list of all the blessings you have, or today how you were blessed. You're breathing, you're alive, you've got iman, you've got... So it's a mindset. So when that parent now looks at his child, feels sorry for him, it may be the case, we have to have husnudhan, positive thinking about our Muslims, it may be the case that that person feels compelled now to earn money without looking at where it's coming from. Because the hadith of the Prophet states that a person will be destroyed at the hands of his spouse and children. The family will make so many demands, so many things, request so many things that he will feel compelled. He'll go out and he won't look at where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Now, if you're earning haram, there's never going to be blessings.
Any blessings.
How can you expect blessings from a haram means? So that's another cause of deprivation. I said that earning haram, eating haram, you will never gain blessings. And again, people are looking at others and thinking, ma'adhullah, thumma ma'adhullah, that by any means I need to achieve that. No. As a Muslim, anything that enters our mouth, anything that we clothe ourselves with, the tarbiyat that we do at home, any gifts we buy for people, it should all be from halal means. And one hadith I mentioned at the end, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about, you could say, the evils of haram, when he mentioned that there was a traveler, disheveled hair, he's come after a long journey, and he's raising dua. And normally when you see a person like that, you think all the signs of the acceptance of dua found with him, that he's a musafir, he's got nothing, and he's going to plead in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, he raises his hands, as per the hadith, and he says, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, oh my Lord, oh my Lord. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions an important aspect. He says, Wa mat'amuhu haram, his food is haram. Mashrabhu haram, his drink mashrab, his malbas, his clothing is haram as well. So how can he accept his dua to be accepted?
Allahu.
So this is something that we have to understand today, that rather than complaining, focus on ourselves. Are we cutting out those means of haram? If we are, inshallah, you will see blessings enter the life.
You know, something you mentioned earlier on about, you know, the tarbiyat of the children. But on the flip side, I remember one brother saying to me that, he said, I'm quite wealthy, alhamdulillah. He said, I've only got one child. He said, and obviously, I want what's the best for my child, right? And he said, I want to buy her things, but my wife stops me. And I said, why? And he said, well, my wife said to me that, you know, you need to make your children understand that they can't get everything they want, even though you can give it them. And sometimes what happens is if we are rich, if we are affluent, we give our children everything that they want. And then it just becomes norm and accepted. And so then further on, when they can't get what they want, then they feel as if they are struggling, they're in this state. Whereas, in fact, they're in a good state, alhamdulillah. It's just that because they've never had this on them. And I think from a young age, we need to teach our children that you can't get... I remember my father, what he used to do to me. I remember when I asked for a bike once. I said, Dad, you know, my bike's small, I need a bigger bike. And I remember the next day I asked for him again, and he sat me down. And he said to me that, son, look, you asked me, it's registered, I won't forget, you'll get it when I can afford it.
No.
Right? And he said, and then afterwards my mum said to me that, look, your dad gets upset that he can't afford it, right? But don't ask him again. So I was embarrassed. I thought maybe 9 or 10. I was embarrassed. I remember about 2 months later, 3 months later, you know, the bike turned up at the house.
No.
But again, that mindset of giving it to the children, that you can't always have what you want. And nowadays, our children have got things that me and you never had. Yeah, they've got all sorts of things that they, you know, and it's just, I don't know. And then we wonder why, and you see the children with expensive phones, expensive PC tablets, expensive game consoles, expensive trainers, expensive jackets, expensive clothes, and yet, you know, we're crying poverty. You know, again, we need to look at our, you know, I remember once seeing a program in the Grand Shura, and the Grand Shura said that, you know, look at your budget, right? He said, I remember sitting down with my family once, he said, and we looked at where our expenses were, and we said, we don't need to buy that. We don't need this. We don't need this. We don't need this. And all of a sudden, we're quite affluent.
MashaAllah.
So again, it's, you know, like you said earlier on that, you know, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe my lifestyle's the problem. Maybe the way I'm bringing up my children is the problem. The way And as a result of that, like you said, and that is the scary one. I've read that many times, and it scares me every time I read it, that there are people that, because of the pressures that their family put on them, they end up going to haram places. And like the examples that I gave to you, that could be the case with these sort of people as well. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a small break now. We've got the hadith of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, inshallah, we're going to continue with the topic. My job's been made very, very easy today with Hafiz Kaleem in the studio. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The entire Quran is very powerful and has a great effect on the reader. But even within the Quran, there are certain surahs that have special merit and virtue. And one such surah is Surah Yasin. And it's referred to as the heart of the Quran. Many people memorize Surah Yasin Sharif. They recite it throughout their lives. We should also commit to memorizing this blessed surah. It's the heart of the Quran. And Sayyiduna Ikrimah, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala alayhi, states that whoever recites Surah Yasin in the morning to begin the day, meaning that person begins the day with Surah Yasin, he will remain happy until the evening. This is just one narration. There are so many other narrations regarding Surah Yasin. If someone recites it once, it's as if he's recited the Quran 10 times, meaning the reward is like that. And also, a narration tells us that when you recite Surah Yasin before your tasks, before any important task, inshallah, that will be fulfilled in accordance to your desire as well. So recite the Quran, and specifically recite Surah Yasin whenever you get a chance to attain much barakat and blessings.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
MashaAllah viewers, Abu Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program. And it's a beautiful day. And that is something that we need to learn to accept, that every day is a beautiful day. And Hafiz Kaleem, before the break, he said to us that, you know, what have we got to be thankful for? You know, and he said, we've got so much to be thankful for. The fact that we're breathing, the fact that I can see the camera, the fact that I'm talking, the fact that I can hear, the fact that, you know, I came in here, I walked in here. You know, all of these things are blessings from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And, you know, if I was to say to you that, look, you know, that you would wish to have £1 million, and I would say, oh, give me your eyes. Yeah. Would you exchange your eyes for £1 million? No, you wouldn't. So what are your eyes? What are the value of your eyes? And many, many times before on this program and many other programs, I've said to you that if you don't understand the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon you. So I think, you know, the message that I got from Hafiz Kaleem before the break was that we need to at least start to focus. That's one of the remedies that we need to have. Focus on our blessings. Focus on what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us rather than what Allah Azza wa Jalla has not given us. And what Hafiz Kaleem said earlier on, which again hit me quite hard, was that if you are not careful, then you start questioning what you have got. And when you start getting into this why culture, you know, and I think that that is a scary place to go to, that when you start questioning what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you, when you start questioning, why have I not got what this brother's got? Why have I not got the family that he's got? Why have I not got the house that he's got, the car that he's got, the wealth, and all these things, and why? And not being happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has got.
You're absolutely right regarding that, because there are so many statements that if a person were to utter in the matter of sustenance, it would lead him out of the fold of Islam.
Allah.
And it's something that we should learn as well. Amir al-Sunnah has a book.
I'm just going to say, yes.
Yeah, he has a book, Kufriya Kalimat Ke Bare Mein Sawal Jawab. Amir al-Sunnah has tackled so many different aspects, you know, when it comes to Kufriya Kalimat, blasphemous statements, statements that will lead one out of the fold of Islam. And there are many statements regarding sustenance as well. And sins in general as well, the ulama have said, Ajisab, that they also deprive one in his sustenance. So since you're going against the commands of the same Lord
who is providing for you.
So that's not wise at all. It's foolish. And secondly, how are you going to gain blessings as well? And it goes back to that point about tarbiyat. In a household, if music is playing, is blasting, people are watching inappropriate things, people are swearing, you know, they can't utter a sentence without using profane language, then what kind of blessings are you seeking? If there's no namaz being offered in that household, then the hadith states the difference of the deciding of the criterion between Muslim and a non-Muslim is salah. That's the importance of salah. And if we're discarding it, If we're not doing what we have to do, wealth, people who have wealth and they don't give zakat, if you give zakat, it will only increase.
Yeah.
And that's the fitrat, the nature of insan that we think it'll decrease. But the Prophet ﷺ said that ma naqasat sadaqatum min malin, that sadaqah will not decrease your wealth. You know, bazahir, seemingly at that moment when you give it, the figures have gone down in your account. Yeah. But Allah will bless you manifold afterwards. Allah will save you from calamities because of that sadaqah. And the blessings of sadaqah are immense as well. So I just have sins. Another thing, there's a hadith before me that indeed a man is deprived of rizq due to the sins he commits. Now, if we're sinning on a daily basis, then we haven't got no leg to stand on, as they say. We can't turn around and say, why me? Why is this happening? First of all, remove all those things that are leading to sin, that are causing you to sin. Inshallah, you'll see barakah into your life.
Allah Akbar. Quite scary. That I know of people that, you know, someone told me this, that, you know, imagine, I think, you know, I can give you an example of Coventry Road here, where there's a lot of Asian shops. It was in another town where a person was sitting on the footpath, on the curb, and he was crying. And someone recognized him and said that, isn't he that person that owns half of these shops?
No.
Right? He owns about 10 shops on this road. And they said, yeah. And they said, well, let's go and speak to him and see why he's crying. This was a Mubalik told me this. And they went up to sat down with him, started talking to him. And he said, what's up? And they said, I'm willing to give all of this away.
No.
Yeah. And he said, why? He said, I've lost my children.
No. You know?
My daughters, I've lost my daughter, I've lost my son, they've all gone. You know, some of them have gone out the fold of Islam. And, you know, when you look at him, you think he's the wealthiest and most powerful person.
People envy him and want to be like him.
Be like him, yeah. But when you actually get behind the scenes, you know, then you realize. And I think it's very, very important to be thankful with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has got you. And I remember you mentioned about halal risk and haram. I remember there was a person and he did a fiddle. And he was quite proud of himself at the time that he did this fiddle with the authorities and he got £1 million. Right, and so all of a sudden he's a millionaire, right? From someone that had a small house, he'd become a millionaire overnight. I remember seeing him about 10, 15 years later, and I said, how are you? And he said, you know, whilst that money was in my house, I never had happiness. Mm-hmm. So having that haram income, having that haram lifestyle, living a life, like you said, of sin, living a life where you're committing all these sins, how can we expect to have a happy life? And I think, you know what happens though, you mentioned it earlier on that it is a kufri kalamat, but people do look to other people and think, well, they're not Muslims, but they seem to be okay. They seem to be happy. They seem to be having a good lifestyle. Why not me?
Mm.
And that again, I think if you look at it, whatever your situation is, if you are affluent, then that is a test. If you are struggling, then that is your test. How do you deal with that test? If you are struggling, then your test is, are you still thankful in the court of Allah? Are you still happy with whatever Allah has given you? If you are affluent, if you are rich, then your test is, what do you do with that wealth?
Hmm.
What have you done with that wealth? And have you spent any of that wealth in the way of Allah? Have you done anything with it to create a legacy that will benefit you in the grave? And a lot of people will say, well, I've worked hard for that money. You know, I've studied 4 years, 5 years of a degree. I've had to do this, I've had to do that. And I always say to them that, you know, who give you the strength to work hard?
No.
Who give you the intellect to get that degree? Who give you the opportunities? All of these things that we have got, everything that we have got. Mm-hmm. The fact that our viewers that are watching now, we're sitting here. What is the difference between me and you and that street seller in Lahore selling pens, you know, and he has to send 10, 20 pens a day to be able to get a few loaves of bread to take home? What's the difference between him and me? Nothing. Nothing. He's a human being, I'm a human being. Allah's put him there and Allah's put me here. And if that person that is sitting on the streets of Lahore or Multan or wherever it is, and he's selling pens or he's selling something to make a halal livelihood, and he's happy with the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, and I'm sitting here making millions and I'm not happy, then on the Day of Judgment, he will be the successful one, not me. And that's something that we all, I think, need to look at, Hafizab, that life is a test.
Definitely.
And it's how we deal with that test. And I think you're rightfully saying that if you want to deal with that test, don't look at those people that are better off than you. Look at those people that are worse off with you and be thankful. You know, and I think I heard it from you yourself, well, I can't remember who heard it from that. I think it was a pious predecessor that said it, that, you know, if you want to realize how fortunate you are, then go to the hospitals.
No.
Go and visit the sick. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember I had a friend not very far from here. He was a college friend with me. And he developed an illness that caused him to be bedridden. And he was in a bed for literally 25 years. I remember me and my father came to visit him. He was in Walsall, not very far from me. We came to visit him. And when we were going home, we stopped at the service station. And I went to the service station and I opened the door. I stopped there. And I looked at my hand. And my dad said, "Beta, what's up?" I said, "Abaji, I'm looking at my hand." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I can open this door.
No.
My friend can't do that."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? How lucky am I that I can open this door?
Subhanallah.
And I think we don't realize how fortunate we are, how lucky we are, how blessed we are. And because, you know, we haven't developed that mindset, then that's why we're struggling. I'm going to take a small break now. We've got a... I know a lot of our viewers want to watch. We have at this time, we have the Ghulam Rasool or Ghanis Fatima cartoons. We've got a small cartoon for you, inshallah. When we come back, we'll get some final comments, some final mulled pools of Hafiz Kaleem, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Wow, Brother Bablu, mashallah. After eating popcorns, you have become strong.
Yes, you're right. Look at this.
But Brother Bablu has no power or strength at all.
So should we have a competition then?
Yes, go on then.
Brother Noman, hold my popcorn for a second.
Dear Brother Bablu, now show me your hand. Go on, try to free your hand now.
What's happening here? Brother Noman? Brother Ghulam Rasool, Brother Bablu and Brother Fizan were competing each other to see who's more powerful. And Brother Fizan let go of Brother Bablu's hand. And he fell down.
Brother Fizan, that's not very nice, is it? You harmed a Muslim brother of yours. The summary of a beautiful hadith is that a Muslim is he from whose tongue and hand another Muslim stays safe.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, from now on, inshallah, I will not harm anyone.
And Brother Bablu, even if we do have power, then it is not necessary for us to let everyone know that we are powerful.
Brother Ghulam Rasool, it was my mistake as well. I will avoid doing so in future.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you're on the channel, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, that whenever these cartoons come on, these Ghulam Rasools, Ghanis Fatima and the other ones, and a lot of us think, oh, it's for the kids. Yeah, the kids, mashallah. Yeah, well, you watch this. But it's also for us. Yeah, it might seem like it's a children's thing, but the message in there, the tarbiyat in there, the things that we can learn in there are not only beneficial for our kids, but also beneficial for us as well. So make sure that you do watch these and pay attention to them. There are many, many blessings in them, many, many lessons that we can learn from them, things that we can learn to pass on to our children so that they become better role models in the future. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program. And mashallah, I'm very blessed today. I'm very, very fortunate today that I have Hafiz Kaleem in the studio. And one thing I've realized, and every time I sit with a scholar, I realize this. And when you sit with a scholar, you realize two things. You realize that you know nothing. You know, and whenever I sit with a scholar, even though we've been here for only 1 hour, you know, and I think you'll agree with me, mashallah, the Madani pearls that Hafiz Sahib has been giving to us, that we realize what little we know and what we need to learn. And, you know, I'm jealous, effectively, of Hafiz Sahib, and I'm going to do Hafiz Sahib to please do dua for me. It's a dua that I've had for a long time now, but I don't seem to be able to do something about it, and that is to try and enroll in Jamaat al-Madinah and become a scholar and follow in the footsteps of these great people that we have. Hafsa, we're talking about causes of deprivation. And we've mentioned so much today that I think virtually on everything that you've mentioned, we could do a whole program so far. But I think, you know, it's developing that mindset that I think is the problem.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk about the causes. I mean, there's a book, isn't there? The Causes of Deprivation. I've got it here in front of me. And in it, Amir Lisun mentions 43 causes of deprivation. I think it's very beneficial if our viewers download this book. It's completely free of charge. You can download it or you can purchase it. It's quite good. I'm just reading the first one now. To eat without washing our hands. Yeah. To eat and drink water sitting in the doorstep. You know, to eat in a state of impurity. To daily eating after the food has been served. To eat on a bed without laying a dining mat. And so many other things. And, you know, when I'm looking at the list, I'm thinking, how many of them are we doing?
And then how many of them, as a result of that, we're struggling? And so, like I said at the beginning of the program, I think we all need to look in the mirror. We all need to look at ourselves. And we all need to change ourselves and change our mindset.
Definitely, definitely. I think it also comes down to showing pride in acting upon the deen, meaning being feeling honored and privileged that I've got this beautiful deen that I can act upon, not being embarrassed. Because I think a lot of the time what happens is people, out of embarrassment, leave certain acts.
Yes.
For example, you're sitting with friends at a restaurant or a food place and it's time to eat. And as you just mentioned, washing hands. And there's a hadith about that, that do the wudu of eating beforehand, meaning wash your hands, your lips, your mouth. And he'll think to himself, oh, there's like 5-6 of us, no one's getting up. But, you know, leave it for today. Yeah. You know, when I go, those are the opportunities where we could impart that knowledge to others as well. Yes. Look, do you know there's a hadith that mentions this, that prior to eating, that inshallah we'll do dua at the end as well. And but when you neglect these things, which seems small, but the blessings found in them are great.
I think even if Hafsab, you're not confident enough to teach them,
yeah,
then at least be confident enough to get up and do your own thing, yeah?
And when they you see you practically doing it.
Do it practically yourself, and maybe that will generate a question, why?
Yeah.
But even if it doesn't generate a question, even if you cannot teach them the hadith, you cannot teach them that it's a sunnah, but at least you do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, we are embarrassed sometimes, but at least that sort of thing isn't a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as if you're going to, Mulana Banagay, who's going to question you that I've just gone to the washroom?
Yeah.
People get up and go to the washroom during the meal.
Mm-hmm.
If you get up and you go and you wash your hands, who's going to question you?
Yeah.
But at least you will have the blessings and the barakat of that meal.
Subhanallah.
Yes, better still, and we should develop that strength inside ourselves, that confidence inside ourselves, to be able to explain to others why you're doing it, encourage other people why you're doing it. But if you can't, then at least don't be embarrassed that much that you're not going to do it yourself.
No, definitely. It's also something that, you know, that if we do constantly, will lead to big blessings. Like sometimes we'll go to Mulan Sahib, we'll go to someone who's giving a wazifa or ta'weez, and we'll say, I want the most powerful wazifa. You know, the most powerful thing you've got, please give it to me, and I want something to change, happen in my life overnight. And when he's told, at times you may think, this again, I've been given the same thing. But he has to ask himself, since last time, have I actually acted upon it as well? So the hadith mentions simple, but proficient thing, efficient things. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked directly by Sahabi about a lack of blessings in sustenance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you enter your home, give salam to your family members. Now, again, you know,
How many of us do that?
Hi, hello, how are you doing? But assalamu alaikum, in accordance to the Islamic way, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, is for more blessings. How many of us actually go out of our way to say that? And I say go out of our way because these things, we're so distant from it. Otherwise, they're small things.
Yeah.
They should be natural things. Our kids should be saying that when they come home. We should be saying that when we come home. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recite Surah Ikhlas. Qul shri, qul huwallahu ahad. The Sahabi implemented that. And this is going back to the point where sometimes you don't need a massive long list of, you know, wazaif to read. The more the better, alhamdulillah. But if you do something with ikhlas, with consistency, that Sahabi went away. And it's mentioned he was blessed so much by Allah that not only his own financial situation became better, but he helped his neighbors, his relatives as well. So the little things that we discard, those are the things that I think we should focus on. And there's so many accounts. When somebody was asked, how did you achieve this or how did you attain this? And he said, I can't remember anything except for I did this amal and I was consistent, perpetual with this amal. I never left it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes an amal that is done consistently, even if it is, you know, in your eyes, it might be like a small or a little amal. But consistency is the key. And I think this is what we need to do. Enter these small things in our lives. Inshallah, we'll see blessings as well. And teach them to your kids as well. The kids go to school, they interact. I think from a young age, if kids are speaking to other kids about this, rather than speaking about football or this player or that player, if they're speaking about these kind of things, subhanAllah, imagine that from the beginning, the younger generation,
the environment
in school and people knowing these things, that would be the most best
thing. SubhanAllah. Yeah. But I think, you know, Yuzumatian, we come towards the end of the program now, and like I said, a few things I've learned today, and that mashallah, sitting with the scholars is a great blessing. But also, Hafsab, one thing I've realized is that, and I think this probably sums up a lot of what you've said so far, that although we may look like Muslims, we may eat halal food,
We may try and earn an halal sustenance, but the one thing that we need to work on and change and improve is this, our mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can have that Muslim mindset in every aspect of our life, be it the aspect of being thankful with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us, having the Islamic mindset of, instead of having that mindset of looking for where we can make the next dollar, where we can make more money, looking at where we can, you know, possibly gain greater reward, then all of these things will change our lives for the better. And I've said it before that there are those people that run after the dunya and they never get it. But I've practically seen it with my own eyes that those people that have discarded the dunya and they're running after the akhirat and the dunya ends up winning after them.
No.
And I've seen those people that when they have discarded the dunya, they're running after the akhirat, they are also the most happiest people. They are happy with the will of Allah and they are in their way, they are the most successful people. They are happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them. They're happy with the will of Allah. They are blessed with that. And I think what I've learned from Hafiz Saab today is that, you know, if we can develop that mindset to Hafiz Saab, then I think inshallah we'll be successful.
Definitely, Hafiz Saab. It goes back to what I said earlier about if you're not happy today with, in your eyes, the smaller blessings, you can move into a mansion, but then your desires will forever increase and then you'll be like, oh, I want this. And, you know, when my koti was made, we didn't have the latest this and now so on. So was, you know, new addition in homes now, they've got these LED lights and they've got this and they've got that and I didn't get that and I want to improve. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam summed it up and he said, the stomach of Ibn Adam, the son of Adam, will never fail.
Allah.
There's only one thing that will fill it, and that's the soil of the grave.
Allah.
I mean, you always want more. I always want more, like, hal min mazid. Is there any more? Is there any more? So, if you're grateful for the small blessings today, then inshallah, when Allah blesses you with greater bounties, then you'll also show shukr as well. But if you can't, so, I often realize this statement as well. If somebody comes to your house, or if somebody meets you at your home, and they point out something, oh, I really like that, or I really like, you know, how you've done this, and you've never thought about that, you've never reflected upon that, and you think, well, this person wants the same, or he's noticed it, and I've never noticed it. So we're drowned in blessings, but because we're on that constantly searching for more, we forget what we've got in front of us.
Allah. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine, and I've had the blessed opportunity to sit with the scholars today. MashaAllah, Hafiz Saab has been with us. And I think in today's topic, we've learned to be thankful with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. Develop that mindset to be thankful. And one of the other most important aspects that Hafiz Saab mentioned was that if we examine our lifestyles, examine what actions we are taking, and one of the things that we touched upon, we didn't get a lot of time to talk about, was the fact that if we are committing sins on a day-to-day basis, we are going against our Rabb, our Creator. You know, so again, we need to reflect on that and think about that. You've been watching Arise and Shine. Until the next time, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.